Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mr. Swan Yi on July 23rd, 1982. This is tape 4. The interview is conducted by Sue Ellen Chen. So you said you helped Lu Loy?
Yeah, Lu Loy.
Okay, and then the other guy?
The other named Ben Kwan.
Uh-huh.
He was there already, looked like he's working there. Mm-hmm. But to my opinion, he's not, he's just one of those hang around there and eat over there. He also helped cook and all that.
I see.
And each time when we have meal, there's a bunch of people that come over to eat. And because during those time there, it's hard for some of those people that try and work in the stores just to the studio only,
mm-hmm.
but not working anywhere else.
I see.
And there are at least about 20 or 25 of them.
I see.
They usually come down here during the supper time, they come down to eat, and then as soon as they eat, they take off.
They don't have to pay.
They don't have to pay, see?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just a free meal to more or less hang around over there.
How many people approximately come and go for dinner?
Well, there's some come and go off and on. And I would say at least around about 40, 50 people. I mean, there's all this extra, we'll call them when we need them.
I see.
See, they just hang around over there.
But I mean, average, every day, you know, they
come. Every day at least around about 20.
20, yeah. How big was Tom Gubbin's place?
Well, let's take a say the about two store. Uh-huh. About two store wide.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
And it's a one whole building deep.
Mm-hmm.
And because upstairs is a private restaurant he opened by him when any time when a studio people call up said that we want to have a private party.
Mm-hmm.
So Tom Gumman have a private restaurant over there. Just don't open for public, just
mm-hmm.
for private.
Uh-huh.
And then have Ben Kwan as a cook.
Uh-huh.
See, I think during that time, then he could pay.
I see.
See? And him and Lu Loy helped him out.
I see.
See?
Uh-huh.
And when I was there during that time, I helped them out too on that.
Uh-huh.
And then after when they eat, they, you know, tip and mm-hmm. get a little tip from them and things like that.
And who are these people from the studio? Caucasians, extras, actors?
No, it's some of those... more of those a director,
mm-hmm.
and some of a few actor too,
mm-hmm.
and they want to put in a private party,
mm-hmm.
see, and then they called up Tom, see.
I see.
And Tom just opened for privately only.
Uh-huh. How many tables are there, I mean, when there's
well, party? Actually, I don't demand how many people there. It's pretty good size. Well, two-story wide.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell you, when you get a chance, ask Gilbert. Gilbert
mm-hmm.
Leon?
Mm-hmm.
See? His father
mm-hmm.
Ran his restaurant up there. Actually, I know Gilbert.
Uh huh.
See, and his brother Johnny, the oldest one, and Ed. No, I think it's Ed in it. Yeah, Ed is the oldest one, I
mm-hmm.
think. And then Gilbert, and then I think his younger brother is Elmer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And his sister Margaret.
Mm-hmm.
And then his mother used to teach in Chinese school. And his father all came back from north.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they come from San Francisco or from... I always thought they came from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day when I met Gilbert, he told me he seems to a different other place. I don't know which.
I see.
So you know Gilbert.
Uh-huh.
So you ask him about that. See, that's how I knew Gilbert. See, uh-huh. knew the whole family.
But the restaurant, Tom Gubbin's private restaurant, is not part of the Su Chao.
It is a whole thing. Later on, Su Chao, they came down, took the whole thing over.
Oh, I
opened
see.
The restaurants.
I see. So when was that?
Oh, I don't know what year.
Is
now,
that like an app?
Huh?
Oh, it's much later years.
Oh, yeah, at least.
After the war.
No,
it before. It should be before.
Way before the war.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. 36 women in China. Probably 34, 35, 36.
Okay.
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
So actually, yeah. Tom Goppens has that one for
yeah.
a while. So
yeah, yeah, for a while.
So it's a quite a big place.
It is a big place.
And when Tom Goppens didn't have private party, what did you use? What did he use
leave
for that?
Onto open space.
Did he
used to have a little room up there. He lived up there.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Until later, back in 35, then he bought a house.
I see. Where did he move to? Not in
China. He moved on North Broadway. You know what Wong's Association?
Uh-huh.
Family, that's where that spot is.
Oh, I see. And was it the same building?
No, that's just a house. They tear it down.
Oh,
see?
I
it
see.
It was a house.
I see.
It's he bought over... from a Mexican people that are
mm-hmm.
over there, but that's
it's a Adobe
a years
house,
that, huh?
Or is Adobe house or is
no,
it
a regular wooden frame house?
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I see. So yeah. he moved over there. He yeah. has a family, I believe. Or
who?
Tom Goppens.
No, he had no family at all. He's himself.
Huh.
Yeah.
I see. So he
because even when he had no family, he's always talk about it. Since he got in trouble with this girl here,
mm-hmm.
ever since then he forget about the families. He didn't want to get married.
I
so
see, yeah.
Ever since then.
So when you worked for him, how old was he then?
Oh, I really don't know.
I
guess in his 40s, I guess.
Uh-huh, yeah. I see. So he was pretty rich then? In
well,
sense.
No, he's not, but he's pretty well off though, but he's not rich. Because simple reason why he's a gambler.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. And he gambled for fun, not a real gambler, but he
okay.
gambled for fun. And the way he gambled, he's always lose. A simple reason why, at one time, I went down to this gambling house, he was gambling, I saw it, this first time. First and last, I guess I would have said that. I wear something myself going to the gambling house. Just happened that day there. Mm-hmm. I happened to walk in there. The way he played card was domino, because the bankers, you know, he holds card like that. Everybody could see it, especially the bankers. So when he pay $100 to $500. Right. He play $100,
high. $500
yeah,
$500 at that time?
Yeah, that time, yeah. He just hold it, everybody could see the card.
You
yeah.
mean he hold
once
it
once in a while, yeah. All time, yeah, everybody could see it.
Uh-huh.
Right. The way he just hold it like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like that, you know, everybody could see it. See.
Uh-huh. Very flat
yeah.
and far.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how ever he won. Once in a while, he wins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he won, but... that's the funny part of it is this. The people hang around his store over there. When he go gambling, yeah, people just watch his face. See? So when he come into the store, if he don't say nothing, hold his breath, keep away from him. They all walk away. See? They don't have nothing to do with him. When he come back, with a little smile, says, hello, so forth, so he's talking. So everybody get around. Every time he went, he's always passed some money out.
He's very generous.
Yeah, he is very generous. See?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care if he win or lose
mm-hmm.
until he don't have too much money. See,
mm-hmm.
he's still pretty well off than the rest of a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
but he's not rich.
So you would say that most of the money made really from the business and the
yes,
and
it
okay.
actually made money. That's only business. That's only way got income coming.
Uh-huh.
Then later on, back in near the. Before World War II, let's see, no, after World War 39, at before World War II, 39, yeah. When they start to move Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
and the Union Station took over
mm-hmm.
to Santa Fe, after all Santa Fe ground,
mm-hmm.
when they took over and built the station over there. And that's how this, I say earlier ago, that's how he got this, got in the business, move up over this China City, called China City then.
Mm-hmm.
And with the property belonging to Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Sterling get together over there because Sterling know Tom pretty fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got Tom, that's how China City started. And then later on, a couple months later, Chinatown started.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's why Chinatown and China City, people, they're not like this, you know. I mean, friendly.
Not friendly.
Each other.
Competing each
other. Competing each other, see.
Uh-huh.
just because Tom took over there and took care. Because actually, Tom spent a lot of money in China City to fix up all those area. Mm-hmm. It used to be a place by the junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
And all he fixed up after he got into business there, and then Chinatown.
Did he close down the business in Los Angeles Street?
Yeah, then move up over to China City on Spring Street.
1938?
No, 1939, or 37 or
38,
somewhere in that neighborhood,
yeah. Oh, okay. So when the China City first built, he moved in right away?
He moved in, yeah.
Where was his store about?
It's right opposite from Plaza, you know, on Los Angeles Street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I mean in China
right
City.
In China City, on the corner of Yi Mi Lu now, the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
Yi Mi Lu up to where the fish market is.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So the whole place she leased.
Uh-huh.
Tom got leased from this fellow here.
Uh-huh.
See, later in the future, this fellow, he wanted to ask Tom to want to buy it. He didn't want to buy it because it's too much property.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one to start then. Then he straightened everything, then he subleased to Yi Mi Lu, and then used to be a drugstore, then a barbershop, things like that.
I see. So it's like the Shanghai Street?
Shanghai Street, yeah.
Uh-huh. That was a part that he...
A part of, yeah. It's a building there. So he used the first floor, the ground floor.
He used the first
floor,
ground floor
for
his business?
Yeah, for his business. In other words, he used on Spring Street floor, for his business, but there's another Orchard Street ground floor.
Uh-huh. Yes.
He used that as a little shop there and make a street over there.
Uh-huh. Was that the same place as Gilbert's store?
No, Gilbert's store is in Los Angeles Street. It's an old place.
No, I mean a couple of years ago when F. Sui On moved to Orchard Street. Have you visited that place?
F.C. On actually on Spring Street, the old place.
Uh-huh.
But later on, F.C. On moved up to New Chinatown.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's F.C. Yeah.
Okay.
And but they still have another store.
One of the Sun or whatever it's down on Shanghai Street. Now
right. That
is after the fire.
Uh-huh. Okay.
See, I was in there later on when Tom, this person named Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
He owned this rickshaw place.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, pull the people around, take
a
picture.
Right.
But he quit the business, he sold to Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Tom took it over.
Mm-hmm.
When Tom took it over, he put me in it, in charge of it, and take care of that place.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
And in the meantime, as you say, F.C. On, there's one of the son there, they're not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
See? But when he got there after the fire,
right,
1939.
Right. But I'm asking, is the same location?
Same location.
Okay.
See, after the fire.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
When after the fire, some people didn't want it, and some people got in, different things like that.
Uh-huh, see? I see. So, well, we will talk about China City later.
Right.
That is another very, very interesting part. But I want to go back to Tom Gubbins on Los Angeles Street store.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that there are people coming and going from time to time and eat supper there.
Yeah.
And he will feed them.
He'll feed them, yeah.
And these people did not have to pay.
No, he didn't have to pay. It's more or less, it's as long as it was like eating time, they all just come together.
Uh-huh, yeah. I see. Yeah. And he was always at the store, or he was like going out?
Well, as long as there's no studio work, he'd be in the store all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Going in and out, maybe take most time being in the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see. So Tom Gubbins spoke Chinese with Chinese.
Chinese and read a few Chinese too, Chinese character.
Uh-huh, I see. So did he speak Cantonese only?
Yes, he speak Cantonese and he also speak Mandarin.
Also speak Mandarin,
yeah.
So okay. Yeah, did he speak Guangzhou or?
Guangdong.
Guangdong, not Shiyapa.
Well, he pretty nearly sound like it, Shiyapa almost.
He was able to also manage to do that.
Yes.
I see. How did people think about him as a Lofan Caucasian or thinking he is a...
No, they used to, they know his mother is Chinese, his father is English,
mm-hmm.
but they always call him Bakwa Tom. Bakwa time. In other words, it's motion pictures time. In other
words,
Bakwa about mommy and motion pictures.
Tom
is his first name, Thomas.
Right. Okay, that's his
name. After all, the Chinese call him Bakwa Tom.
I see. So when he stay in store and, I mean, if it's no business, I mean, the store is open there. You only deal with the studio.
Yeah, but the store is still open. Once in a while, a few people from outside go in there and look around.
Did he sell any, like, a small parts
whatever
of
it is.
Items that still have merchandise going in and out with not only the rental then?
You have not only rental, it's a business itself.
It's like a store
selling curious stores
or something.
Yeah, I see.
Well, you said at the beginning his store wasn't very... Yeah, the merchandise wasn't really that much.
Well, not too much, but they got enough to cover the whole store.
I see. Yeah. And so he has to sort of purchase more merchandise from time to time. Where did he get all these merchandise? Did he travel back and forth to Hong Kong?
He traveled back and forth maybe once in 2 years. He go to Hong Kong, visits his friend and his sister.
Mm-hmm.
See, he himself got a lot of property in Peking, and I think he have some in Nanking, and in Shanghai he have some.
Uh-huh.
In Hong Kong he have some.
I see.
Yeah. He got a lot of his property. But when he go to Hong Kong, he's always look after the people that the children, you know, without any parents, he supported them.
I see.
A lot of time he give a lot of money to them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the children have no parents, and all this, he helped those people a lot.
I see. So he would go back and forth, and he apparently probably make a lot of money on the property too, or he just invest the money in.
Well, that is beyond me. I don't know about that.
Okay. But did he sell any like antique things?
Yes.
So his customers are mostly Lofan?
Lofan, yeah.
So they will come to the store you will wait on the customers.
Yes,
was that a good business in a sense?
Well, during those times there, I would say this is about fairly.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, compare his regular business and this is no business at all.
In other
words, just compare from the rest of the store and store to store there, it's pretty fair, not
I
bad.
I see. So, how did, he apparently has a lot of Chinese friends.
Yes.
How about, did he have good American friends?
Yes, he does have good American friends, but...
Again, they don't come to the store.
Don't come to the store. Once in a while, they might come to the store and say hello to him. And or some of his friends need certain thing, they call him up and come to the store, things like that.
I see. So, he has a store in Los Angeles Street. You say upstairs is most of the time is empty.
Empty, yeah.
Until they
it's
have
just a private restaurant.
How about the four people you work for, him? Did you stay in the store or you stay? You mentioned that you stay in the apartment, somewhere nearby.
Well, first when I got there, I live in the hotel. I mean, with this George Derby, as I say, he's still alive. There's living in Pasadena. He called me up on top of at least about 8-9 months ago. Called me up, told me to go visit him, and I never did.
Who's George Derby?
George Derby, he's a white fella.
See,
and he's one that he's one of the hang around that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, what kind of job he do, he get paid. And also there's another fellow named Tom, T-O-W-N, Tom. And of course he also hang around there. When any doing the typing or call the people for the list typing on, well either George Derby or Tom would do those jobs.
For Tom Govan.
For Tom Govan, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And when they're at, then Tom Govan, Tom said, I want so-and-so on this list, that he write it down and type it all out.
Uh-huh.
That's the kind of job these two fellows do. See?
Paperwork,
uh-huh. Yeah. And I think they get paid for that, doing paperwork, but they don't get paid for it as a wages.
I see.
And they always hang around there. The uh-huh. two fellas always eat there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And they live in this hotel, uh-huh. not too far away from Tom Gubbins' place.
I see.
And when I first come, that's how Tom Gubbins asked George to take me over there. There's a room over there. That's mm-hmm. our first stay over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on back in, about 32, I think. Then he bought a house,
uh-huh.
see, and over at North Broadway, where now one on Sunday, see,
uh-huh.
you know, the Wong's Family Association
right. uh-huh, uh-huh.
is over there, see.
Uh-huh.
So he stay over there, and I stay where I got two room over there, see.
Oh, you also stay with
after
Tom Gubbins.
When he bought that place,
uh-huh.
see, I stay where I'm on the one that stay. Well, he treat me as like a son. I always uh-huh. call him Uncle Tom.
I see.
So. And so we both stay over there, and I take care of the house, you know, I mean, like, keep up a place,
uh-huh.
so I don't want to clean up over there. Then when I clean up there, I go down to the store, see,
mm-hmm. I see.
And we actually help out the same procedure.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Right. So, like, what was the name of the hotel?
Paris Hotel.
Oh, Paris Hotel,
yeah, that's the first
that.
Hotel that I had.
Right. Yeah. Were all the tenants Chinese, or...?
No, they all, actually, I didn't know myself later on in the field. Actually, it's for girls, anyway.
Oh, it's one of those prostitutes.
Yeah, they call it red light, yeah, red light district.
What street was that?
On Los Angeles Street.
On Los Angeles
yeah.
Street. Mm-hmm. Nearby, it's like south.
It's
right
half block by the Ferguson Alley and Aliso Street, I think. Oh, no. Aliso Street, a little far down, before get to Aliso, there's another street in between, I forgot that little street.
I see. Right. Well, I mean, it's for girls, Chinese girls or
no, that's
American
girl.
Girls?
American girl.
I see. But for, it's like in the middle of Chinatown.
Well,
was it for Lofan or for
anybody?
Anybody.
Anybody.
I see. Yeah. Okay, so that was like, was a couple of years. So are the others like, when... What's the other guy's name? Lou Loy.
Oh, Lou Loy?
Yeah. What? He didn't stay in the hotel, though.
No, he didn't stay. He stayed somewhere else, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Then,
so
you,
none of you stay upstairs?
No, just Tom himself.
Mm-hmm.
His store.
Mm-hmm.
Then later, in a few months or a year later, then I move out there and stay with another fellow, a Japanese fellow. A movie actor named Shimada.
Mm-hmm. Shimada.
So, Tudor Shimada.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one came from Japan. He used to be a government sent him over here, a student
uh-huh.
in college. So.
I see.
And he and I are the best friend of all.
Uh-huh.
And I think I stayed at a hotel over there first, maybe for about a couple months or so.
Uh-huh.
Anyway. Then Tudor Shimada move in to now what we call Pacific Hotel,
uh-huh.
Right by on Sunset and Main and Spring Street. Let's see, Spring Street and Main, I think, is
mm-hmm.
when they come together, corner, Key to Corner
right,
used to
right,
be.
Uh-huh.
Right by the Avera Street over there,
uh-huh.
About,
uh-huh.
on Main Street over there.
Uh-huh.
And they used it as a hotel called Pacific Hotel.
Okay.
So Shimana and I got the same room.
Uh-huh.
See, we lived together over there. And he's another fellow hang around in Tommy's place.
Uh-huh.
I never seen him work in their place but in the studio.
Oh.
Yeah. And that's how he become an actor of it.
I see.
Because the government sent him over to go to school, to college over. And he graduated college and never did went back.
I see.
He didn't want to go back. The whole thing was it.
I see. And then he would start working in the studio.
Yeah, studio, yeah.
As a actress?
Actor and actress.
Actor,
yeah.
Actress.
Whatever the job
actor,
it is.
I see, uh-huh. Yeah. So, and you stay with the, in the Pacific Hotel for until Tom Gubbins bought the house.
Right.
And you were the only one moving.
Yeah, the only one moving.
And this Japanese fellow still
he's
stay
still there,
in
yeah.
Pacific Hotel. Pacific Hotel is a real hotel.
Yeah, it's a real hotel. Yeah, because
it's not like the.
Well, Paris. I would say the same thing almost.
It's all
yeah,
also
all around there. That, but it's not like Paris Hotel actually doing, but there is.
Some.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how big was this hotel? Like a Paris Hotel?
Well, let's
how
see.
How many rooms?
Well, Paris Hotel, just upstairs itself, maybe about 6-7 rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just roughly guess.
Yeah,
actually, I don't
sure.
know how
I know,
many
you
rooms.
You don't
count. Yeah. And so it's a Pacific Hotel, but the same.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They're all on the second?
Upstairs, yeah.
Upstairs, second mm-hmm. floor, just
second.
One
Yeah,
one
there
floor.
Are only two floors only.
I see. So, yeah. What do they have downstairs on, like, say,
Paris? Downstairs on Paris Hotel, the Chinese open some kind of store and then they close, and I don't know, it's more or less like a warehouse or something like that. Or I really actually don't know where they, I know the store down below
uh-huh.
and don't seem to be open.
I see, okay.
See?
Uh-huh.
And Pacific Hotel downstairs is a drugstore.
Uh-huh.
See,
I
right
see.
On the corner.
I see. Do you remember the drugstore's name?
I think it's RX. I really
oh,
don't
okay.
know. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, since you were talking about the building around that area, mm-hmm. and I might as well ask the, you know, what do you remember on Los Angeles Street? Because, like, on this side, you have Tom Goblin's
Tom Goblin, all the whole Chinese different place there, and Fong Li, you know, Epsilon,
uh-huh.
all along there.
Uh-huh.
And
how about Lugo House there?
Huh?
Lugo House was there, right? It's the Hap Sing Tong.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
Hap
Sing Tong upstairs.
Yeah. Upstairs, right in the middle of the block almost.
Uh-huh.
Just a couple of doors away from Tom Goblin's.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, and then you have other stores. What are the other stores? Can you sort of give an example?
Right. Actually, on a corner, they're always closed. Never have a store there, but there used to be a store on Tom Gummins Street, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's always an iron gate around there. So once in a while, I guess it's a gambling place.
Mm-hmm.
Once in a while, they have once. Most of the time, they don't have it. Close up.
Mm-hmm.
And then after then come Tom Goblin's.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Mm-hmm.
From Tom Goblin and FCON.
Mm-hmm.
Then FCON another relation, I forgot who was that, a couple more stores before come to the corner.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't know. On the other on the corner one I was talking about on the Orr Street, used to be one, that's where first Tom Goblin got in there with this fellow renting a place there,
mm-hmm.
Motion picture, then for the studio, no, just like this same business there.
That's before
that,
the Los Angeles Street.
Yes, and right on the corner of Los Angeles and Arch Street,
uh-huh, okay.
there's a store there.
Uh-huh.
He used to be leased the place over there
uh-huh, uh-huh.
With this other fellow, and then when he made his money, I get them, he moved this place
to
empty
Los Angeles.
Move. It's both on Los Angeles.
Yeah, I mean,
see,
more towards to the
toward
plaza
the, yeah.
area.
Or the, and that was south side
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
up area, see.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Orr Street, as you go down the next street, is Alameda Street.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Between Alameda Street and Orr Street is called, there's a fellow named Don, probably you might know him, Frank Don, the first Chinese boxer that I've ever seen. He's
uh-huh.
doing the boxing.
Frank Don.
Frank Don, you know.
Uh-huh.
Frank Don, Ellen Don,
uh-huh.
and of course there's another one, Don. One of his youngest one, I think he died of fright when he was very young then. So he got another very youngest brother. He died from fright. Right? Halloween night, you know, Halloween.
Oh, frightening.
Yeah. Frightening,
ah.
frightening to death.
I see.
See? And Frank Don's mother, a big, husky lady.
Uh-huh.
Fat,
mm-hmm.
and his father's like my size, a little more broader than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's another family, Tom Gumber, to help them a lot. Whenever get a chance to work in the chick pictures, he send them out there
mm-hmm.
because they're poor people, see, and they couldn't make, you know, a hard time. So that's one of them then to help out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's how every time when the picture comes on, they call them. See.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's halfway between La Century and Orr Street. There's
uh-huh.
a little
yes.
go in there.
Uh-huh.
And then another family to help out. Actually, it's not help out. Well, help out a little bit, not as much as this family. It's George Mueller, the first person that Tom introduced me to.
Uh-huh.
See? And his uncle, you have a drugstore.
Uh-huh.
right across Alameda, on the same side, on the other side of Alameda, about halfway. They got a drugstore there. They call it Dan Siu Hong. And then next to Dan Siu Hong on the east side of it is what's a Suhu, you know, the Suhu they used right next to the George Place now, in Seoul. And that's the same person. See? And then the right cross from Suhu is General Lee used to call it, used to call it the Man Chen Lao.
Right.
That's Suhu. That's General Lee.
General Lee.
And that is but the most, you know, the one that I run.